Wonderful, wonderful. Aloha, everyone. Much love and blessings. Welcome to another experience for us to come together and share and grow in our wonderful journey to having the best life ever. And we're very excited to talk to you today. Just want to make sure, see if Nick or Taylor on the on the call. Either of you there right now? Just wait a moment for them to show up. So today we've got a lot of questions, and just looking at them now briefly to give you an idea what we're going to we're talking about today. We have questions about food, about diet, about eating meat, about relationships, about mushrooms, and quite a lot of different relationship questions, and also someone's wanting to know what books we're into, some of the authors and people that we've learned from, so you can find out more about that. And just wanted to share quickly that, you know, Tribuero Training has many, many, many different facets and many different options for you to focus on. But it's always going to come back to the essence. And the essence ultimately is how to live a happy, meaningful, joyful life. That's the essence of the training, and it always will be. And one of the things that I found that I really feel is worth repeating and understanding deeply is how can you do the things that bring you joy every day and revolve your life around those things. And that really is what it comes down to. You know what those things are. And if you focus your energy on making sure that just those few things that you love to do, like getting up early, meditating, certain things that you do, you can manage to do those things for 21 days straight and build the habit of doing them, then it becomes normal for you to do that. And your entire life automatically is very enjoyable for you. So it actually sounds really obvious, might sound very simple, but this is really what it comes down to. We're helping you to build new ways of being into your life so that you do them without thinking about it and you naturally do things that bring you happiness every day. So that's it. That's really what it comes down to. And so just realize what you're doing is building in new habits, making them stick so that you don't have to think about and you're not fighting with yourself. They just happen by themselves. That's when you have success, because every day builds on the next and each day is an opportunity to give yourself more joy and make a bigger difference in the world. When you say brother?
Absolutely, brother. That's what it is, mate. And it's a wonderful thing that, the joy frequency is what it's all about. And that's what perpetuates. It's, I remember some great work that one of the guys that was really into sacred geometry did. And when joy is mapped as a frequency and represented, mathematically and graphically, the waveform of it is the only, it's the only shape, it's the only geometric shape that self-perpetuates forever when you represent it as a waveform. That means if it was a wave, it would keep turning into itself, revolving into itself, and the wave would perpetuate forever. Instead of like a normal wave just breaks and dissipates, the joy wave, that mathematical signature, that's the thing that actually perpetuates forever. So it's like it's the ultimate longevity. And of course it's obvious, it's perfect sense. You know, if we're just happy, if our lives just bring us joy, 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 that's basically the secret to immortality, success, and everything else that anyone could possibly wish for. And it is simple, but it's not necessarily easy because of the world that we live in, the influences that we're subjected to, and the natural, or let's say the unnatural, dysfunctional, sabotaging elements that the ego and all of its complexes contains. And so superhero training is basically to get us to riding that wave. And it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Yum.
Yeah.
So it brings me a lot of joy to answer questions. We got some good questions today, haven't we, bro?
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's have a look at these questions we have. Let's bring them up now. Do you want to take this one? Do you want to take the first one, Nick, and read it out?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it, yeah. So this is Jan from Norwalk. Hi, Jan, Norwalk, Connecticut. She's talking about how she used to be a heavy meat eater, eating a bunch of grass-fed and organic meats. And, she said she could quite merrily steak three times a day. And now the thought of eating meat doesn't make her feel good at all. And she started to eat just once a day, mostly vegetables, without being hungry. So she's only eating once a day, mainly vegetables, without being hungry. And she's laughing about this and questioning whether it's just temporary. And just wants us to comment on it. So this is an interesting phenomena, and it's something that a lot of us experience as we're basically the joy frequencies. Once you're really tapping into your, this self-perpetuating feeling of aliveness, which comes, with the foundation of which is spiritual practice and cleansing the kind of the soul crystal, which allows your, your pure spirit to really flow through your life. As you do that more and more and more, and then you organize your life in a way where you can serve, you can express yourself creatively, and you can do the things that bring you joy, that joyful energy, that spiritual power actually nourishes you. It's and it's not just exclusive to superhero training. It's a common theme that as individuals evolve, as human beings evolve in consciousness, they generally become increasingly disinterested in all aspects of material life, including, especially and obviously dense food. So diets lighten up quite naturally. And also lightening your diet, helps the process. But it's also a natural consequence of the process itself. So it's very normal. Temporary, it can come in waves. It can be seasonally affected. If it's gets very cold, generally speaking, in the winter time we tend to eat a little more or change our diets a little bit in the winter time. But generally speaking, that's the basic theme. But it can, it does fluctuate. Like Brother Michael, went through and I've done as well, long periods of time hardly eating anything at all, and very light and stuff. And then there's a call for you know, has been a call for, you know, more substance and a little more density for the grounding factors and other things. I lead an extremely physically active life and expanding a tremendous amount of energy, and my constitution is very fast, fast metabolism anyway. So I actually, it brings me joy to eat good stuff and fuel myself up if I feel that I need it. But I can go quite merrily and have done for days and weeks and months, hardly eating anything at all. So it comes in waves, and it is very natural. And just trust yourself, and just, you know, literally follow the joy frequencies, and just make sure that you're not feeling undernourished. A lot of, like, we stay very grounded in the superhero training. We make a point of, you know, being very grounded. That's why we deal with, you know, success factors and creative expression in the world, and you know, relationship stuff, and you know, every facet of life, of human life. We, you know, because we need to be grounded and expressing in the world of form. A lot of people on the spiritual path, especially if it's involving psychoactive substances and various recreational drugs and whatnot, and a lot of the new age dysfunctional elements, tend to become extremely ungrounded. And if you're an ungrounded person, you're not eating anything at all, you're eating extremely lightly. Both Michael and I have experienced this. You know, we've been involved in the raw food the raw food brigade for the last 9 or 10 years, and just been dealing with, you know, hordes of individuals that have become extremely ungrounded and really spacey. So you know you can ground in with dense food if you need to do that, and it's a very quick and kind of safe way to ground in if you're feeling like you need grounding. So there is a common sense warning with all of this, and we're not recommending, you know, you anyone stops eating, but you know, this is a specific question from someone who's already experiencing that, and you know, has obviously dramatically shifted from being into meat three times a day to mostly vegetables just once a day. So that's a quite standout phenomenal demonstration there. And you got anything else to add to that, bro?
Yeah, briefly. Taylor's on the line, but I'll just share something quickly. I was just at the beach just before the call, and I'm sure everyone who's been to Kauai realizes there's lots of chickens and roosters wandering around everywhere, making a lot of noise. And we see them all over the place, these chickens, so we're used to them. It's like a kind of a Kauai anomaly, really. And I was just checking out the chickens, and I was thinking, people eat chicken, like chickens, like KFC, and like, you know, there's all these chicken joints and people eating chicken, and you can buy it in the shops, but not many people have seen chickens wandering around very much. So I don't eat chicken, but I see them. And I was looking at them thinking, because I know the behavior of these roosters, they're so annoying and you know, obnoxious, and just like causing trouble and like making a mess in the yard and just up to nonsense. I would never want to eat that chicken because of what it is and what it represents. So when I mean, not that I even think about it, but I was just tuning into that today, just looking at these creatures wandering around and thinking, do I want to put that into my body, that energy that it has? And when you think of it that way, and you look at the different foods, you know, there's hundreds of different kinds of things that potentially we could eat. And I think what it is just to tune into how you're feeling as a spiritual being in a body, and just tune into what physical stuff do you want to add to your body that's going to make you feel good, you know, and resonant, and realize that, you know, if you eat, you know, superfood, that has a certain resonance. If you eat, you know, potatoes, that has a resonance. If you eat, you know, like like tons of fried curries and stuff has resonance. If you have a bunch of chicken, it has resonance. It doesn't matter what it is, but I think it's just a personal decision that we have to tune into ourselves and say, what resonance do I have and what do I want to imbibe into my body? Because physically speaking, we physically are what we eat. You know, our body is being sustained by the stuff we put into it. So it's just worth thinking about it from that position when it comes to making food decisions. And I'm not, you know, preaching that you should be vegetarian or you should do this or you should do that. So everyone makes their own call. But just tune into the resonance of food. And I think that really gives you a solid answer that you can rely on. So that's my 10 cents. Taylor, have you got anything
to say? Yes, I do. You know, I was just listening a week ago to Dalai Lama, who was, I guess, really, maybe all his whole life had been vegetarian, and he was talking about how just he had recently, due to illness, was eating denser foods and eating more, actually eating meat. And, you know, so there's a perfect example, really, of what Nick was talking about. You know, for me, it's interesting because when I first just stopped eating meat, most of it I did so because, you know, I was about 17. I had just left home and I was on my own for the first time and I could make whatever I wanted to eat. I remember thinking, okay, you know, I was all excited. I went to the store and I noticed that they didn't have any. You know, I was kind of just going to run through the menu of, like, what I ate my whole childhood, you know, which was, like, these standard meals. You know, I had all these things all together in one plate, you know, like chicken with scalloped potatoes and green beans, you know, the whole little combination trio. And there I was in the store, and I could not find a single piece of chicken. There was only, like, 5 pieces in a package. I remember thinking, well, I don't really want to buy 5 pieces. And, you know, what are you going to do with all these other pieces? And so it was actually that was what had me initially become a vegetarian, was just simply meat didn't seem to be geared for a single person packages. But then whenever I discovered that there are all these other options, you know, because I was living in Southern California, it was like I actually just saw like an avocado sandwich, which I didn't even know that there was such a thing or that it could be made into a sandwich. That was really interesting and, you know, opened up this whole new world. And then I just went one thing to another, discovering all these new foods. But when it came time for me to kind of look at eating meat again, what I discovered is that texture, having not eaten it for a while, in my mouth was not appealing somehow. And I still find that to be the case. Like I like, you know, sometimes I like the smell or something about it seems interesting, and I just tried it. But somehow that texture, and then it just seems like you just chew and chew and chew, and nothing ever really becomes of it. So, but I've noticed that in general, people that I talk to lately are not needing as much food, perhaps, unless you're really doing some physical activity or it is colder. But I think we're being fed in new ways. Like I know for myself, when I go to Hawaii versus being here on the East Coast, that I'm being fed by the sun and the water and nature. You know, just the air, just the salt air, it feels so nutrient dense. And then the food, you know, being grown in volcanic soil. You know, so I eat a salad. And it's like, okay, well that's enough. You know, that's good enough right there. And so, you know, there again, it's the quality of the food that you're eating. You know, if you have a garden in your backyard and you go outside and pick some food from that thing, boy, I mean, a salad can do it for you. It's just like, wow, that's everything I need. You know, or even just a piece of fruit off of a tree you grow. Or if you're into wild foods, I find, you know, we've wild food forage here in our local parks. And I can go just into the park, you know, just completely filled up on, you know, like two or three bowls of berries because they're just so nutrient dense. You know, wild food is so nutrient dense. So, you know, the beauty of being in this program and exploring, in a way, all new levels of what your needs are, you know, for everything, food, you know, rest, healing, physical exercise. So it's an opportunity to rediscover what do you want. Maybe not, you know, maybe this 3 days of, you know, three meals of meat was something you inherited, you know, but wow, guess what? You know, there's all these other ways you could actually eat and explore and discover. And as you are taking in energy in a higher vibratory rate from various things, you may not need the density that you had before. Your body just may be getting fed another way. So, you know, I think the real key is just like Nick and Mike were both saying, is just to be open to exploring, discovering what's working for you in the situations you are and have some flexibility. Because I've been through every possible diet there is, you know, macrobugs, raw food, fruitarian, and, you know, to kind of get stuck into those regimen sort of ways of thinking, like, well, I can't eat any of this, that, or the other thing, can be extremely limiting. It probably isn't really our true nature anyway, you know, which is why we have certain enzymes where when we're in situations where there just isn't any, like, fresh raw food available, that we can eat denser foods like meat or foods maybe we would not normally eat. So, you know, that's the real key, I think, is discovering what is our true nature, what gives us the most joy and vibrancy and feels good and is delicious to us and supports our spiritual growth and evolution and our lifestyle.
Yeah, I think it's worth just adding something on there as well. There's a great piece of work. One of the books that is recommended in the superhero training on some of the supplementary videos is a nice book called Love Without End, Jesus Speaks. And in it, Jesus is asked this question, you know, is it okay to eat meat? And he said that the reply was that it's not natural for human beings to eat meat, but hardly anyone can do without it. But in any case, what the problem is that, well, he said hardly anyone can do without it at the moment, but that won't be the case in the future as we are, you know, evolving and you know, moving out of this fallen state of being. And what he said was that in any case, that's not the problem or really the issue. What the issue is that when it comes to meat eating, unloved animals are being raised on unloved land, slaughtered in an unloving way, processed in an unloving way, prepared and consumed in an unloving way. And that's the big problem. And basically, when you bring love into the equation, it's pretty difficult to get motivated. If you were into eating meat, and there was nobody there to slaughter and butcher and prepare everything really nicely, and you know, so you didn't have to deal with any, you know, because you don't have to deal with any of that. But if you did, you know, and you were a loving, heart-centered individual, you probably wouldn't be terribly motivated to go and get your chainsaw out and, you know, start ripping into a cow or something. So I thought that was a great piece that came in from Jesus. And so, and he was saying that basically a meat meal prepared with love is far more nourishing for you than and the quote was actually specific about raw foods. Yeah, you know, just eating on the run and unconsciously as fast food. So it just brings us back to this whole underlying point that the superhero training is based on anyway, that everything is consciousness, and the way it's about the way we do things that is what really counts. And as we do things increasingly in quote unquote the right way or the better way or the higher way, however you want to put it, then that naturally is going to, you know, raise us up, and we're just going to go through natural changes. So we don't have to get involved in this. You know, there's so much ego when it comes to food and what to eat. You know, all the raw foodies are falling out with each other. There's so much polarization and the division in just that tribe itself. You know, and it's just more and more and more ways that the ego and the darker driving elements that are impulsing through those ego drives get a foothold into our social circles and start driving wedges between us, when the whole idea is about cohesion and unity consciousness based on love and higher consciousness.
Just to add on to that, you know, before the end, right near the end of the year, I was doing an interview with Gerald O'Donnell, and he brought up he said something like that, until this whole model of factory farming and animal concentration camps, was the word he used, is eliminated, we won't end war with one another. And you know, the whole energetics that's driving that sort of inhumane treatment to animals, or treating them as, just a being that has no life, and as just an industry, is consistent with war, was what he was saying. And you know, so if we look at it from that point of view, that, and along with the fact that it's just not sustainable, that many say that unless that stops, you know, the land that it takes to have one cow produce could just grow countless amounts of food for people if it was utilized in that way. And so there's other bigger reasons at play in looking at the whole dynamics of food and why we make the choices we make, and what, if we play it out really in the biggest scheme, what are we supporting? And certainly that is something also to look at as someone that's conscious and aware and wanting to be of service to the greater whole. You know, and that's a whole other conversation, but certainly an important one to have, knowing that everything you do has some sort of impact. And more than ever right now, I'm really seeing people waking up and taking responsibility and becoming aware of where their food does come from. And that's so exciting because, you know, I mean, it really, people really were, there was a huge disconnect between what was in the supermarket and how it got there. And that seems to be becoming narrower and narrower, and people are becoming more aware and making choices for local, humanely raised foods of all kinds. So, you know, I think we're living in a really exciting time where that whole awareness is starting to shift in a big way.
Yes, it's a deep topic, very, very deep. You know, and as you just tune into it, if you think about the kind of foods we eat, if you were to have to make your own, create your own food, like Nick's saying, would you prefer to plant some trees, grow some vegetables, you know, grow some stuff that you can have, and then cut it yourself and eat it and replant it and have abundance? Or would you rather go and find some animal that's wandering around and kill it, chop it up, and prepare it? And I think when you just tune into the energy, one is like giving, you're creating more abundance by producing something from the land or growing trees, and the other is taking something that's already there and taking it away, getting rid of it. It's just a different energy, and I think it's for each of us to think about this deeply. I think a lot of people just haven't thought about this in any real depth. So they're just doing what everyone else does. But when you really think deeply about it for yourself and tune into your own values and your own integrity, then you get to a solid answer for yourself that you can feel good about. So, fantastic. We've got lots of other questions. So let's take another one on. We've got one from Anon, USA. I'm assuming that's not someone's name. That's someone who doesn't want to say who they are. Aloha, much love, and thanks to all Superhero facilitators and students for the wonderful community and invaluable support. If Taylor or anyone could offer some relationship advice, I'd really appreciate it. Several months ago, I entered into a relationship with someone who was very compatible with me in so many ways, and loving, giving, trusting, trustworthy, and crazy about me. Just about all the qualities I could hope for in an ideal partner. For the last couple of months, however, I've been steadily feeling more and more that something just isn't right, either the match or the timing of it, I don't know. How to explain this and break it off in the least hurtful way possible? Intuition tells me, seems to be telling me that it just isn't right, but I assume it's not a particularly satisfactory reason to be dumped by someone you love. So, what do you think, Taylor? Fascinating question.
Well, I think it's a darn good reason, and I wouldn't hold it as being dumped, number one, so let's just eliminate that altogether. Well, let's just say, you know, I think I've said this many times before, but I'll say it again because we're saying. You know, used to be when I'd lead these courses, and probably we should maybe even put this in superhero training, I'm thinking if we haven't. Maybe we have, I can't remember. We put so many things in there. You know, right up front, just to say right off the bat that, you know, one of the things that you can expect to happen when you put yourself on a rapid path of spiritual growth and evolution, which is this training, is that you better be okay with the possibility that you may lose close friends and associates and intimate partners. And that just kind of goes with the territory, like eating differently, you know, for Jan, or, you know, changing your job, or, you know, all the things that happen when you are beginning to wake up and discover who you really are at a whole new level and connect with your deeper self and soul and realize, whoa, hold on a minute. You know, maybe why I did everything was either just some reaction or habit or just ego-driven or who the heck knows what. But the point is, this is a very common outcome of being in a course like this. So, you know, that's just one thing to know up front. And so here you are, you know, and you're finding yourself that, well, maybe this isn't the relationship for me. So I would suggest to really look at, is that the case? Really just be clear. And it sounds like it is for you because, you know, your intuition seems to be saying that this is just isn't right. And that you really need to follow that. But I would recommend that you first, before you just end the relationship, perhaps have this dialogue with the individual. In any case, you're going to want to have this dialogue because this is the dialogue to have. And they know they probably already know that you're on this path of spiritual evolution and growth. And if they aren't joining it with you, then one could suspect they would be left behind in a different way. It's a rare relationship that I've seen that if one person commits to a path such as this, which is exponentially going to change and shift every component of who you are fundamentally, and the partner, the intimate partner, doesn't join with them, then often it is the case that you will have a gap there or a separation or a feeling like, well, wait a minute, you know, I don't know about this. And so I often recommend if you're in an intimate relationship with someone that if you're going to do something that embodies this much spiritual growth and evolution, to invite your partner to do it with you. I mean, if you really care about them, because you're going to want to share that with, you know, the ultimate relationship you're going to want to have, these fundamental things that you're discovering in the superhero training, you're going to want to share with that person anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going to want to share it. So that's my first suggestion. Well, okay, maybe it's too late for that now. Maybe it isn't. You know, but the point is, right now where you're at, the dialogue to have with this individual is the truth. You know, the truth shall set you free. You just say, you know, hey, like, wow, you know, in the beginning of this relationship, I was crazy. It was the best ever. I was just, wow, this is all the qualities I could hope for in an ideal partner. It was just the best thing ever. And here I am now, but I'm becoming deeper connected to who I am and discovering myself more. I'm realizing this, that, and the other thing, you know, whatever it is. And I'm questioning if this, if the, our relationship is really what I want. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying that. That's a good inquiry to be in all the time, really. even if you think you know the relationship is what you want. And just, you know, tell the truth and say, you know, what ask them what they're feeling, because you may be surprised to discover that they're feeling the same way about you. They're kind of like, well, what's this person doing? They're getting out in the middle of the night, they're meditating, they're like walking around breathing weird, they're, you know, who knows? But the point is that anything can be worked out through communication, and these are the kind of communications you want to have right now. And, you know, I've actually supported superheroes have called me with these very questions, like, I really realize this relationship isn't for me anymore, but I'm, you know, so feel so horrible about just letting the relationship go. How do I do that without hurting them or breaking their heart? Well, you know, how you do it is you tell the truth. And the key is that, in a way, it's not about them. And that makes it much easier for the individual. It's about you. You're realizing that what you need is, you know, A, B, and C, and it's not happening in this relationship. Now, it could happen if that other person is up for it or wants it, but what's more important is for you just to communicate what's going on with you and not have it be about the other person at all. At all. And if this other person really does love you and is committed to you in any way, all anyone wants for anyone else that loves someone is for them to be happy and to have the very best possible thing. And if they can see that this, your being in relationship with them is not giving you the happiness that you're seeking in an intimate relationship, well, then it's really, again, not about them. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just that you're discovering new desires that you have for yourself. And I would really also get clear about what is it now at this new place where you're at. And by the way, this list may always need to be updated and refined as you go through, well, just period in life. What is it that you want in an intimate partnership, soulmate relationship? You know, what is it? And maybe you both together make those lists up and you see, like, well, we really do want different things. Wow, that's really interesting. You know, okay, well, maybe we would be better served not, you know, being in an intimate relationship in this way. You know, this is another way that you can approach it. But the key is to give up this idea of being dumped, but rather this is just an opportunity to engage together at what is really serving you in relationship and discussing your evolution and where you're at. And that's the way I would hold it. And it's in this way, it's a huge opportunity of growth and evolution for both of you. And then if you do see that, yes, indeed, you know, we would be better served going our separate ways, then I really recommend, and, you know, I know I've said this on other calls, so, is to have a real ritual and ceremony to acknowledge and be in appreciation of all that you have given to each other in the time that you've been together, what you have learned. Because we know that if you're working together with this individual for any amount of time, given all the billions of people on the planet, this is a soul relationship, and it was serving you in discovery of many things for yourself. And it's important to take the time and acknowledge and appreciate that. It's so important. And in a ritualistic honoring way that really serves both of you, and so you can build on it rather than go off and get into yet another relationship to work out whatever it was you didn't work out or were avoiding or you were in a reaction to and all that kind of stuff. And this is really the heart of conscious creating of relationships. And, it's an exciting opportunity, and I encourage you to see it as that, not as a problem or unsatisfactory or anything else, but it's an occasion and a big one for spiritual growth and mutual evolution.
Yeah, absolutely. That's solid advice there from Taylor. And I was just wanting to mention something, that experience I had related to this that might be useful. I got in a relationship in May last year, and I remember feeling after, a couple of months, something wasn't quite right and questioning the whole thing. Maybe like you are, I don't know exactly the details because these are all very subtle things. But I decided to talk about it with this person, and it was just a communication issue, actually, and she was doing certain things that were, not really working for me, but she didn't realize she was doing them, and it was kind of unconscious behavior and just stuff that can be changed. And I've had many conversations with her about various things like this. And the result has been that we now have a truly remarkable relationship. I'm amazed, truly, truly amazed at the level of love and connection and ease and grace and peacefulness and cooperation. It's just I didn't think it was possible. I really didn't. So it's almost such sweet resonance. I didn't believe it was capable of having. I was capable of that, or that existed. But that has come after quite a number of, you could call them hard conversations, where I've said to her straight up, if this doesn't change in this way, for me, and nothing against you, but I can't be in a relationship with someone unless I feel this, I wasn't like blaming her for anything. I was thinking, here's things that are important to me, and I need to have this, just my own personal needs. She is actually in alignment with them. She just hadn't thought about it. So we both talk about it, tune into it, and get clear. And that's changed it completely. So you might find that just talking about these things completely shifts it for you, Rather than just assuming that it's not a good thing, you might find that just chatting about it changes everything.
Yeah, that's great, Michael. And really, I find in general most relationships there isn't a lot of this sort of communicating going on, and it's not a bad idea just to make a regular time for this level of listening and speaking and just sharing. To upgrade the relationship, because the highest space of spiritual growth and evolution occurs in an intimate relationship, and so that's the place where there's a lot occurring, a lot of movement, a lot of shifting, a lot of assumptions, like Michael's saying, and the opportunity just to kind of call time out and like, all right, hold on a minute, let's just stop the action here and let's look at where we're at and what are our needs and how's it going and how are you feeling, and really being able to, in a non-judgmental, non-reacting way, communicate in a safe space this sort of back and forth, sort of just your truths and your needs, is immensely transformational. immensely transformational. And so I would recommend that really for as a regular sort of just, you know, healthy relationship practice.
Yeah, just sharing your truth. Just it results in such a wonderful upgrade. It's just amazing. So yeah, let us know how it goes with that. Anon, that's from America. All right, well, let's move on to another question. This is for Nick. I think he can share a lot about this. With regards to the Ho'oponopono practice, please discuss some effective ways of starting out the practice and then what it has potential to expand in our life. I've read the book, listened to the audios, and I've drawn to follow this 11-minute meditation practice on a daily basis. There's a video, I don't know what it is, Nick can share about Ho'oponopono. What seems to be flowing in is focusing on one person each practice until the energy begins to move. Should I continue to focus on that one person daily until it feels complete, or let things flow naturally? For example, one time the mental images went from a single person to groups to the entire planet. I'm imagining that the practice can expand to people in prisons, people I have no idea who they are. It's a truly amazing practice. Thank you for your insights. And that's from Andrea in Arizona.
Well, it's a wonderful question, and we could probably spend the rest of the day answering it. But in a nutshell, what you're basically employing with the Ho'oponopono, and for those of you who aren't too familiar with the term, it's a Hawaiian term, and it basically means the restoration of righteousness or the restoration of harmony. And it's basically super advanced metaphysics, and it is a way of orienting your attitude, your own attitude, and focusing your mind in such a way that it dissolves complexes and disharmonies, energetic structures and unnatural formations in the psyche, in the soul, and in the, you know, in the human unconscious and subconscious. And it restores a natural underlying harmonic that actually exists. You know, we could say that it's, you know, the original creation or God's original intention or the original plan was harmony and perfection. And it is because, you know, for a variety of reasons that we've got ourselves into a tangled, disharmonic mess, and we can see the consequences of this in the way the world appears around us and the way so many relationships are dysfunctional in every facet of our society. And so what the key attitude, the key feeling element in Ho'oponopono is forgiveness, the bestowing of forgiveness, the asking of forgiveness, the taking responsibility for the complication and the disharmony, or taking responsibility for the part that you're playing in terms of holding that vibration within yourself. And what within the question there from Andrea, she was talking about, you know, she goes with the flow of it. She can naturally feel it expanding out into the world, and she can feel that she wants to take this practice, you know, directed towards people in prison and all these kinds of things. So you can affect anyone's life, anyone throughout all space and time, past, present, and future, with this practice, because metaphysics transcends the physical world. And so by practicing Ho'oponopono, which basically is holding your attitude in a vibrational state, which translates to, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It was popularized by a guy called Dr. Hugh Len Kealaha, a Hawaiian psychiatrist who was given charge of an award for the criminally insane, the psychiatric hospital in Honolulu here in the Hawaiian Islands. And he ended up healing every single person on the ward to the so much so that they were all reintegrated back into society, gone from straitjackets, extreme medication, extremely unhealthy, extremely disturbed people that had committed murder and violent crimes and all kinds of dreadful things, had dreadful case histories. He never met any one of them personally while he was doing the healing, but he did have a little office next to the ward which he would go into every single day, and he would just look at their case studies and sit down, literally sit down there all day looking at their photographs and just saying that was words. I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he would examine his health and ask himself what he had inside of him that was holding this in state. So we're talking about super advanced metaphysics here. But the thing is, it works. And we integrate it into various elements of superhero training, the Sun Pop program specifically, directing it at your own ego construct as a way of fast-tracking, liberating yourself, i.e. the indwelling spirit, from the complexes and the miasms, the sort of tangled web that your psyche is in because of what you've inherited from your parents, genetic coding sequences, discordant energies that you're being bombarded with every day, conditioning you received in school from the media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everything that the Matrix does to deform and destabilize and disharmonize the soul, the natural song of the soul, it is a very, 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 very effective means of reharmonizing it all. And the keynote of it is basically forgiveness, taking responsibility for everything that happens in your life. That doesn't mean that you condone things. If you had a lot of us had a rough time when we were growing up. Dreadful things happened to us when we were very young. Dreadful things happen to seemingly innocent children and innocent people every day of this life. But the thing is, real spiritual warriors are not into blame and finger pointing because it's just a waste of energy, a waste of time. We're not into judgment. We're into liberation, liberating ourselves so that the natural currents of joy are really flowing through our being. And the fastest and most potent solvent to dissolve the glue that keeps consciousness stuck in dysfunctional patterns is forgiveness, pure and simple. And Ho'oponopono is a marvelous strategy and technique that the Hawaiians have been using for generations and generations to liberate themselves from all of their ancestral disharmony and to deal with any and all family drama and family dynamics that come up in day-to-day life. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. So, yeah, keep checking that stuff out. We're really into it on superhero training. And you can Google up if you want to get the background story on the sort of resurgence of it, the renaissance of this thing. You should Google up the story Ho'oponopono by Joe. What's his name? That guy, the
Joe Vitale.
Yeah, Joe Vitale. Yeah, and Joe Vitale, Vitale, Ho'oponopono, and he met Hugh Len Kealaha and really brought his stuff into the light. But what he did and what we do is synthesize the essence of it. We distill the potent component of it and extract that, and then we put it into our stuff, and it's very, very effective. But the simple mechanism is forgiveness is what liberates consciousness. It's the solvent that dissolves the glue that keeps that that liquid consciousness stuck in dysfunctional patterns that it can be repeating for a long time.
Oh, fantastic. Yes, very deep, very deep. And just a quick line on that. If you consider that the whole world you experience is in your mind, everything you see around you is all in your mind, really, you're just forgiving parts of yourself. So when you don't see it as something else, you see it as it's in your mind, it's your world, and it's in your mind, then the whole practice kind of makes even more sense on a deeper level. So anyway, these are very, very deep things, and you'll experience the depth the more you practice it, just like everything. All right, fantastic. We've got a very interesting short question here from Nicole. She says, Aloha, is it safe to buy whole reishi mushroom or other herbs in a Chinese store? Thank you.
Well, I think there's Chinese stores and there's Chinese stores, and some of them are really low quality. Generally speaking, the Chinese tend to export their lowest quality stuff and keep their highest quality stuff. I would really tune into your intuition and guidance on all of that. And you know, if you're on the superhero training, you should definitely be, have a highly developed or developing sense of intuitive knowingness, and you'll get a pulse whether it's a good thing or not. But I can also say that Dragon Herbs, Ron Tia Garden, has some exceptionally high quality stuff. And I think if anything that David Wolf has got going on his Longevity Now thing, you're going to find some really good stuff there, because he prides himself on going for the highest quality that he can get his hands on. So I think that's the basic answer to that.
Yeah, I would just add to that Mountain Rose also has good mushrooms. And in general, you know, you don't want to use a whole big mushroom. So, you know, it's just, and then the best way, of course, to get reishi mushrooms is to find them. You're living in Vancouver and they're everywhere, and mushroom hunting and foraging is an exciting occupation in and of itself. So, you know, I would educate yourself on what reishis are pretty, you know, I don't suggest mushroom foraging for everyone. I mean, for all mushrooms, but reishis are pretty telltale and a safe variety, and you can easily, you know, maybe educate yourself on what a reishi is and then go look for them at the right time of year in the right trees and all that stuff, because that's just a whole nother adventure. There's something very gratifying about actually discovering, finding, and procuring your own mushrooms.
Yay. Bottom line is,
go
for high quality stuff, you know, go for the best. Have less and go for the best. I think that's just a general policy that keeps us in best spirits. Quality and high quality rather than quantity. Were you saying something, Nick?
I just wanted to say that the reishi mushrooms are a good choice. But the stats, you know, a lot of the data and the stats, and definitely my personal experience, I think is an all-around super immune booster, really, really, really good, nourishing superfood. Tree mushroom is the chaga. Chaga, and I'm definitely connected to an extremely high quality source of that, and you can check that out at Chaga King, chagaking.co.uk, chagaking, chagaking. Extremely high quality and really, really good stuff. Lasts way, way longer than reishi mushroom does. That stuff wears out. It's gone pretty quickly when you're making teas out of that. But if you use the chaga, especially in a slow cooker, in a ceramic crock pot, and just leave the mushrooms in there, just heating, just have it on the hot setting, and just keep it on that hot setting. It never gets to boiling. It will literally last for weeks on end. I've had the same stuff in my crock pot for the last almost 2 months now, and it's still black. So I'm definitely that's all I'm into at the moment is the chaga, and it's a better deal, higher quality, lasts way longer, and it's also has a much wider, broad spectrum, positive, beneficial impact on the physical body and the central nervous system and the immunology. So switch over to chaga. If you're into tree mushrooms, that's definitely the way to go. And that can be harvested as well. That's found all over the place in very cold areas in old growth silver birch forests. And like Taylor was saying, mushroom hunting is a lot of fun. And so stay tuned for more of that.
Yay. We love mushrooms.
I want to chime in on the chaga train here, because I'm telling you, I can't imagine a life pre-chaga, to be honest. It has become my go-to beverage at all times. And the thing about chaga versus anything else is it's smooth and delicious. You know, reishi can be bitter and rough and, kind of strong, but chaga is like the true coffee, as far as I'm concerned, the true coffee beverage. Deep, it's nourishing, it's delicious, it's beautiful, it makes an excellent base for, soups, for smoothies, for chocolate drinks, for, warm smoothies, for chais, there's a number and 101 uses and more for chaga. I'm just really into it now more than ever. And of course, David Wolf obviously is really into it because he's just written the book on chaga. And the beauty of this mushroom is it's a mushroom that just keeps on giving. Like Nick said, you can really just get so much value out of it for weeks just as a tea brewing away. You don't even have to worry or think about it. It's fine just simmering away there. And then when it's done, you can take it to two or three more levels of extraction. You can then, let it dry out. You don't just discard it afterwards. You let it dry out. You put it in the freezer because a whole new level of nutrients come out of it when it's frozen. First there's the heat extraction. You get all kinds of things from that. Then there's freezing it. A whole new level comes out. And then putting it into an alcohol tincture from there brings out yet a whole nother level of health-giving benefits. And then you've got this incredible chaga tincture. So I really encourage you to, get that book, really do some research. I actually just connected with a guy here who makes chaga beer, which was unbelievable. And Jeff and
now
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I know. Now we're talking, aren't we? It was. You should have seen it. I'll send you a picture. It had like foam at the top. I mean, it was frothy. It looked like some, stout German something you'd find in some pub somewhere, who knows where, And it was so good. I mean, it was delicious. I mean, it was indescribable. So the benefits of chaga are vast. There's vast benefits from that thing.
Yeah, and also it's kind of like a word of warning with the old tree mushrooms as well, because they do pull out the atmosphere, the radioactive particles, and because there is so much of that stuff flying around right now. And so, these there's certain places where the chaga comes from that is very, very pure. One of them is North Scotland, and that's where all the chaga king stuff comes from. That's the purest stuff that I know, but the Canadian stuff is very, very good. And I'm, you know, there's definitely a question mark, with the whole, really everything that is coming out of China. I think we need to have a good look at the controls and the sort of emphasis on cleanliness and atmosphere and all the rest of it. Really it's out of control over there. And the chaga book that Avocado just put together is a really, really, really good thing. And he's all about chaga, and he's always on the, riding the wave of the latest and greatest. And but he's also very faithful to whatever is the best of the best. And I can tell you from firsthand experience that his, chaga is right at the top of his thing as well. And I agree absolutely with Taylor. That stuff is just rocks. And the immunology, the need for boosting our immune systems, having super, supercharged immune systems, just basically grows every day, especially with all of these ridiculous, designer viruses that are being dumped into the atmosphere, all of the time these days. And chaga is something that's just kind of coming in onto the radar. And the thing is that it has to be, handcrafted. Good-hearted superheroes have to go out into the wilderness and literally climb trees and get this stuff off it, to be the real deal. So obviously this is a finite resource. So I definitely encourage anyone that's interested in this to stock up on a little chaga. And a little of that goes a long, long way.
Yeah, just tailing on that, chaga is such a hot topic. If you are going to go mushroom foraging, by the way, you really do want to, because what Nick said is true, that there are limited resources. It takes a while for a tree to produce chaga. Chaga is a hot thing. People are going to be taken to the forest with their machetes. And there's a sustainable way to harvest it and not sustainable. So you really want to educate yourself. You can do that by reading David's book on what is the best way to harvest it such that it can actually reproduce itself even more plentifully afterwards. There's a lot to know about it. So I really encourage anyone that's going to take on foraging for chaga to do it responsibly and really inform yourself and, really keep that kind of higher view in mind that, that it is a gift, a natural gift that's really coming into our awareness right now for just what we need, something that's knocking out these strange viruses and to do it in a way that really creates sustainability and, don't come from scarcity around it.
Yeah, Coach has been making chaga ling, which is it actually tastes like Coca-Cola for some reason. I'm like, oh my god, it's quite unusual. It doesn't taste like a mushroomy flavor particularly. Anyway, we love chaga, all right, especially if it's fizzy and. So we've got a couple other questions. Taylor, there's a question for you again. I think you pretty much covered it, but maybe you want to say something else a little bit, if you want. And then I just talk about the last question. Someone's asking, what topics, books, authors have been mentioned at various times throughout the training? How do you feel about sharing a list of books you recommend? So we actually have already done that. It's in the book list of books that Nick and I love is there. We're good to get a list of books or authors or topics Taylor's into. I don't think we have that. So Taylor, if you wouldn't mind writing your top 10 books or authors, send them over to me. We'll add that as well.
Okay.
But we've already got that in the, I think it's a section called Peace with the Wisdom of the Ancients. And that's, I'm not sure what week that is or what session that is on the training exactly, but it's under that we have a list. So when you get there, or if you have already gone past that and want to go back, we've got a good solid list there. So anyway, the last question is for Taylor. She's since starting with training, the differences and interests of my relationship with my husband is getting more and more clear. I know he has his own life lessons, and that's fine, but it is a feeling of more distance, no communication, and no sex. He is very supportive to my training, even when I want to get up early so I can meditate. How to deal with or overcome this problem? Thank you for your answer.
Yes, well, indeed, the last individual that we talked about this for probably answers most of this question. I mean, it really does come down to, I would suggest, just really opening up communication with him and asking him how to deal, overcome this problem. And don't see it as a problem, but see it as an opportunity to go even deeper and discover more intimacy in your relationship. You know, it's amazing. I spent a lot of time, especially talking to really recently teens and, you know, people that are just starting to discover, like, what is it to be in a relationship? How does it all work? Everything else. And, you know, I had a girl call me completely upset because her boyfriend had told her that, you know, she was the only one in her life, in his life, and she was every woman in the world to him. And then I guess she got on Facebook and saw this other girl who he had gone out with or something like that, and it created quite a scene. And but actually, you know, when I recommended that what she do is just sit down and talk to him and have a dialogue and ask him, you know, is there, besides this, was there anything else he wasn't telling her the truth about? And it ended up, and she also shared for with him, and it ended up being this big long list. And she kind of called me in the middle of it. She's like, "Oh, this wasn't a good idea. You know, not only is it this, but this. You know." And but I encouraged her to stick with it, you know, and work through it, and she did. And you know, she called me later and she said, you know, the level of intimacy that we got to from really just staying in that conversation, which was really rough. You can imagine. I mean, it was pretty tough. I mean, she just wanted to bail. And she had a lot of obvious agreement from her whole friends and network of support that was the thing to do. And you know, now she said that she cannot believe the conversations they can have. And it was interesting because, and this just backtracks to that last little thing I was talking about, you know, this one superhero that wanted to break up with his girlfriend but was just afraid it would break her heart. And, oh, dear, you know, how could he be so cruel to her? And he said something like, you know, this is just the hardest thing I'd ever have to do. It's the hardest thing I'd ever have to do. I said, wow, I mean, you have a lot of interpretation about this. And he said, yeah, it's the hardest thing I could ever imagine doing. Well, anyways, then he did it, obviously, and it wasn't hard at all. But what happened is he called me back after that and he said, you know, like, I realize now that I've done the hardest thing I've ever thought I could do, I can do anything. Like, I just feel so free, because it really was, for him, the most difficult undertaking he could imagine, you know. So there's a real freedom that comes when you are willing to just have conversations that are uncomfortable, that are, you know, could appear challenging, or, you know, just, yeah, you know, really just go right in, you know, go right in at the issue, and come out the other end And, you know, kind of what you discover is, well, not only did I live through that, you know, I actually lived through that. I'm still alive. And it really wasn't that bad. And then furthermore, now there's this whole new space of relating that we can be in that's just fantastic. It's kind of like, wow, that since that big fear is out of the space and that big, like, kind of like lump of unconscious whatever it is, you know, it's kind of like a stream, you know, like if you dam it up, it gets stagnant and you know, scummy, you know, and relationships can be like that when there's not this real, just, you know, like looking at like where is this relationship kind of like dammed up, you know what I mean, like where can we bring more flow and chi and energy to it, and you know, just here we have, like, we have no communication, there's distance, there's no sex. So these are plenty of issues here where you could really just go in and ask, you're like, well, why aren't we having sex? What, you know, what is it? What's going on? Like, what's up for you? And, you know, really encourage a safe space to communicate where there isn't condemnation or get, you know, and, you know, it may be hard not to get upset, but, you know, the key is to just keep in there. Once you go into that ring, don't get out until you really, you're at a higher space than where you were when you went in. And just commit to that. Like, we're going to talk this through, even though it's uncomfortable, even though it's, you know, it may not be something you want to talk about or, you know, this is another key thing. Do not accept "I don't know" as an answer to any question whatsoever. that's key, and that's one of the only rules of the game. Is you cannot accept "I don't know" as an answer, because everyone knows something, and "I don't know" is an easy way to just stay in unconsciousness about a matter and not bring light to it. And, you know, all spiritual evolution is about bringing consciousness to that which is unconscious. So it's an opportunity to just bring it all up. And you know, if you ask a question and he says, "I don't know," don't accept that as an answer. Say, no, you know, you do know. What is it? Even if it doesn't make sense, whatever it is, it's a good beginning place. And even better is for you to begin, for you to really bare your soul, you tell your truth, you be vulnerable, because in you being vulnerable, it allows for the space for someone else to be vulnerable. And that's always a good way to start. You know, just talk about how you feel, what you're feeling, you know, what is having you be sad or you be whatever you are. And then it makes it easier for him to, rather than just kind of attacking him like, wait a minute, why aren't we having sex? Why aren't you communicating? Why this? Why that? And so, you know, but again, a lot of what we talked about in the last question, but, and so you're probably already feeling that the question has been answered, but I just really encourage everyone who's dealing with intrepidation about relationship issues to see it as an opportunity and be willing to move past the fear. Because there's great love resources available when you do that. Always. Count audibly.
Yay. Very deep. You know, if anyone actually applies any of the things we've been sharing, you're going to experience profound shifts. And it is challenging to make a change in our lives, but it's worth it. We might not like the challenge in the moment, but it's just so valuable long term. A nice quote, just maybe to finish up with, is: in life, you can't avoid pain. You're either going to have the long pain or the short pain. It's your choice. So if you're in a relationship that sucks and it doesn't look like it's going to change, you're either going to have long-winded suffering every day, moaning and complaining, or you're going to have those hard conversations, get it cleared up, and then be stoked afterwards, you know. Either way, it's going to be some amount of pain, but it's the long pain or the short pain. It's totally your call. Yay. Nick, any last thoughts? Doesn't sound like we have any last thoughts from Uncle Nicholas. Taylor, anything you want to share? Just final thoughts?
Well, this is an exciting time coming up. You know, this is this weekend is the Chinese New Year. And really, in terms of the energies of nature, this is really when spring begins. You know, even though, like, a major snowstorm is predicted for the Northeast, I heard. But, you know, the energies of the sap rising, is how I like to refer to it, is already occurring underground. And this is really, spring is rising in all of us. And so in a lot of ways, the Chinese calendar is much more accurate to what's occurring in nature, which is us, than the you know, traditional, whatever this calendar is we go by. And so... and it's a new moon to boot. So I really encourage, you know, this, if you're feeling like, well, I really missed the boat on my intentions for the new year, you know, I never really got to it, or, you know, whatever it is, this is a perfect time to really have a ritual, have a ceremony, spend some time in creation of what it is, what are the seeds you want to plant at, that you want to have nurture in the spring energy ahead, right now, this weekend. And this is a fantastic opportunity for that. And I really encourage you to use this weekend and this week. You know, we're moving into next Thursday, actually. Valentine's Day. So these are relationship questions. They're perfect timing because, you know, everyone can use the opportunity to of love being in the air. And why love is in the air is because spring is rising. We're in the whole big heat cycle of spring. You know, I even saw, like, robins flitting around, you know, looking to build nests in the snow. And so, you know, use the opportunity to of this Valentine's Day ahead, and the energy of love in the air to really tap into love and how can you have even more love in your relationship. If you're not in a relationship, you know, time to make a list of what do you want as an intimate partner. And if you have a list, refine it. You know, get it out like, all right, you know what, let's dust this off. Let's look at it. Is this really true? You know, and if you made it last year, for sure you need to make a new one. It just hands down, no two ways about it. So, you know, that's what I say. It's really, it's an amazing time of creativity and love right now. Love is in the air.
Ah, love is in the air. So enjoy, go deep. Open yourself to love, open your heart. Big smiles, and we'll be talking to you soon. Lots of love and aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha.